We all know that women are not funny. And no one proves it better than Kay Ballard, the accidental lawyer who is the accidental host of our show. Of course, every accident that Kay Ballard encounters is intentional. And now her intention is to accidentally disprove the show's premise. So sit back and enjoy a fun conversation that matters between Kay and today's fabulous featured guest. Welcome to Women Are Not Funny Radio.
Hello, this is Kay Ballard, and our guest today is Paige Worthy, an American girl raised on promises, and as she pointed out, it was actually Tom Petty who came up with that lyric. But he isn't the one who came up with the practice of raising American girls on promises, and someday we'll find out who exactly did that, and we'll hunt him down or praise him. I can't decide. Paige also describes herself as a 20-something, which I think is brilliant because even though I'm a proponent of lying about your age, let's face it, there are only a couple of decades when you can really describe yourself as a 20-something and not evoke helpless laughter. So I think it's great that she's taking advantage of this time. Now, as a 20-something writer, she's a member of something of a syndicate of 20-something bloggers, and she blogs brilliantly at pageworthy.com. Now, I subscribe to her feed through FeedBurner, and I'm a huge fan of her writing. It's a personal blog, and she has the courage to actually be personal. She is really revealing in her writing and becomes a character who tells stories about herself and stories that I want to hear and read. Now, I invited her as a guest today as something of a personal conceit because I wanted the opportunity to talk to her and get to know her, and I wanted to give the same opportunity to the listeners. So we'll be talking with Paige today about a number of things. There are so many interesting things going on in her life. She is in the middle of a huge transition. So we could talk about these important beginnings and endings, but in usual, annoying, women are not funny fashion, we're going to talk about something entirely different, something almost unrelated. I want to talk to Paige about grocery shopping. Now, you may ask why, and after you listen to the show, you'll probably continue to ask why. But it's just something that occurs to me that could be a very important discussion. Because Paige does, in fact, do grocery shopping. There's evidence of it throughout her blog. And so we will talk about that. We'll be extremely revealing. Will be extremely revealing about grocery shopping. But before we can do that, before I can bring her on, I have to ask her the questions I ask every guest, and not because I'm paranoid, but because I simply need to know. Paige Worthy, are you using this appearance on Women Are Not Funny Radio as a stepping stone to something better?
This is a trampoline for me, not a stepping stone. This is gonna explode me. I can tell. I can already feeling myself, you know, rocketing to Kay Ballard fame.
Oh, you know, it works that way for most people. But here's something that concerns me, and once again, I'm not paranoid, but I've even been warned about you that you
really
may have designs. Yeah. From someone who couldn't possibly be your friend, someone who's trying to be my friend, apparently. I got a comment on the show notes that I'd better watch out for you, that you might actually be trying to take over my show.
Well, you got to watch out for us 20-somethings. We're sneaky.
I know that, Paige, but that's very, very unkind. Because I've worked really hard to get to where I am, you know. And it's all out there for you. I'm persuaded of that. Now, I'd like listeners to know, this is just one sign of what a big person I am and how forgiving I am. But the way I became acquainted with you in the first place is that you were being a fawning fan of my mortal enemy, Patty Dye.
It happens.
I know, but it shouldn't. I mean, you bought her book, Life is a Verb, and you were so taken by it that you photographed yourself and sent her a photo.
That happens, too.
You know, it happens to her quite a lot. The woman has fans, and I do not understand it. I mean, the truth is, Paige, you probably don't know this, but the reason she is popular is because she decided to become popular to copy me.
Yes, I remember reading something about that on your blog, actually.
Not a tweet battle. We hate each other, and it's just something that we give into. You know, I give into it despite being a lovely person, and Patty's just despicable. So anyway, she mainly dislikes me just for the attention. You know, I actually think she totally adores me. But anyway, I mentioned transitions that you are going through, and you've been so open in your writing about some of them, and I have loved them. You know, I just tell you, I am a wonderful, I am a huge fan of your writing, and I think, you know, when I mentioned that you are able to make yourself a character, I can actually picture the Paige-worthy character. You know, I know you're a real person. It's not a phony sort of thing. But you really turn yourself into someone that your readers can care about. And I think that is just amazing, just totally amazing.
Well, I have a lot of friends who read my blog, which, you know, helps them kind of keep up with me. But I also have a lot of people who just have stopped by kind of randomly or seen a tweet about a post that I wrote and said really nice things or been really supportive or given me a lot of good things to think about. So God bless the internet, I say, because this has been an amazing experience, and seeing more people stop by every day is really gratifying and really feeds my ego, which I don't need at all, but it's really fantastic.
Darling, I know something about this. When someone has a hungry ego, it must be fed.
Yes.
I'll tell you my experience, and it's really rather sad. My darling blog, New Media Martini, I adore it, and I do get praise for it, and people do stop by, and they are fascinated by it, but not in a way that makes them, you know, it doesn't somehow feed a need, okay? In other words, they say things like, this is really unique, this is really funny, this is, you know, so I get that kind of praise, but it's not compelling in the same way where, you know, people want to know what comes next. It's like,
right.
You know, I'm very happy to have read this. This is very, you know, this is clever. But what you write is, I want to know what happens to Paige Worthy next. You know,
well, so do I. I'm kind of curious as to what's going to happen next.
You're kind of like my adult Nancy Drew, you know, that sort of thing. And so I think there's a book yet to come. I really do. And
I sure hope so. Are there any agents listening right now?
we absolutely are going to hope so. And, you know, and another funny thing about it, I'm thinking, so who will play you in the movie? But maybe you'll play yourself. You're quite attractive.
Oh, Lord,
and
no. No,
well, let
ma'am.
Me tell you, you are quite attractive, but the cool thing is you don't hesitate to make a funny face, right?
No, it's kind of all I do.
it's very fun. It's just really very fun. But one of the stories that, you know, I told you, let's just talk about groceries. We could talk about heartbreak because we both know something about it. But heartbreak and groceries have a connection because when you have a heartbreak, it either makes you it makes you want to eat a lot of groceries or it makes you not want to eat any at all. In my case, it's kind of ruined my appetite. But
Oh my God, I'm always the fat kid during a breakup. Always.
Is that
always,
right?
Always. Oh my God, yes. Yes.
Well,
absolutely.
I told you that one of our past guests, the very delightful friend of mine, Susan Piver, who has written the book on heartbreak, and she claims that it's much more usual to lose an appetite than gain one, and even proposes it facetiously as something of a diet, probably.
Yeah,
you know.
I had that for about 3 hours after my last breakup, and then it was back to hitting the raw cookie dough and got everything else in sight, pretty much.
Well, Paige, that's what you wrote about. You said, you know, that one of the ways that you were trying to right things in your life is to eat better after, you know, some junk food eating due to the breakup. And so you went to the grocery store, you know, stop me if I get it wrong, and I never do. You know, I'm practically perfect. So you went to the grocery store to buy some healthy food. And what happened to you, as I recall, you were there buying broccoli crowns and whatever, and some woman walked up to you and asked for directions to the Nutella department.
Well, it was a guy. It was a sous chef from a nearby restaurant in Chicago called the Purple Pig, which is amazing. But he had been dispatched by the chef to go to the grocery store and actually buy marshmallow fluff because they had run down to their last jar making this very popular dessert for the night. And so he had been instructed to buy, and he walks in with his little bandana still on, his logo t-shirt, his checkered awesome chef pants, and he's like, what's that show, that supermarket showdown or whatever, where they have to like run like bats out of heck to get all the groceries they can, and then, you know, it's a race, blah, blah, whatever. So he's running crazily through the store looking for the marshmallow fluff, and he comes through like the peanut butter aisle, and I'm like, no, dude, it's not here. I looked. And so he's like, well, where do you think it might be? And I was like, I don't know, trial I-5? Maybe that's where the baking stuff is? Maybe it's by the chocolate chips, because I know where the chocolate chips are, because I have every grocery store schematic memorized to find my cookie dough ingredients as fast as possible. So, you know, I told him maybe aisle 5 is where you'll find them, and I kind of went on my way because I was really trying to buy, you know, apologies to the airplane flying over my head right now. So I'm in the vegetable section. I got my apples, my nectarines, some tomatoes, broccoli crowns, because broccoli is the best ever if you're not going to be eating cookie dough. And I hear a voice behind me as I'm, you know, making my way up to the registers, like, I found them. They were in aisle 5. And I look back, and dude has, like, 20 jars of marshmallow fluff sitting in his cart, and that's all he's bought. He's just getting the marshmallow fluff, and he's running for the door. So I helped a chef in need that night.
Well, here's my question for you, and I think that's lovely. There probably should be some sort of humanitarian award for that. You know,
the
marshmallow cream rescue in the middle of the night. I mean, just think about it. What you did, Paige, actually, was very far-reaching. Because think of how many, you know, 20 jars of marshmallow fluff. That's a lot of people who are getting dessert, really, and you deserve the credit, Paige.
Or at least the serving of the dessert.
I don't know. I think, you know, and that tells you something about my appetite lately, that the credit could be more appealing than the dessert. But I just think it's wonderful that you did that. Now, here's my question. Is this something that happens to you frequently? Do people walk into the market, and when they want assistance, they look and, you know, their eyes land on you? Is that something that happens?
Well, it has been known to happen that a tiny person will be walking up an aisle at the grocery store, you know, gazing upward at the soy sauce or the bag of flour that they can't reach or whatever it is that they need, like this really obscure can of soup that's on the top shelf. And they don't even ask me, you know, I'm like, can I get that for you? Because I'm almost 6 feet tall, and it makes me really giddy when I get to help people get things off of high shelves, especially if they're older than me, because that's, you know, I get to feel like an adult for a minute. And I can, like, pat them on the head as I walk away and say, there you go. There's your soup.
Well, see,
so
once again, I think you deserve an award for that. There is a lot of attention paid to the idea of helping an elderly person cross the street, but really helping them reach for soy sauce is really much more useful in most respects, I believe. Depends on where they're going, but
I think so.
You know what? This is kind of interesting to me because even before we had this conversation, I really thought you were a fine person, but apparently I had no idea. You know, I in some respects, I think I was underestimating you. I mean, clearly, you are a person, you are a helper. You're a helper, aren't you?
Yes, yes, I am. I like to help. Who needs help?
Well, see, here is kind of the larger question, because I am pleased. Don't anyone for one moment think I'm insecure. I am not insecure at all. Okay. I'm just curious. Maybe this comes from curiosity. But when I'm in a grocery store and someone asks me for help, I'm always a little questioning about...
Like, what, do you think I work here?
Yeah. Or do I look domestic? Or, you know, that sort of thing. Because let's say, and it's happened, you know, there I am, Gucci sunglasses, fresh manicure, and someone wants to ask me about bacon bits. You know, what really does that mean? You know, I just have to, I mean, I'm not insecure, but I do wonder, you know, I do
I mean,
wonder.
maybe it's a come on.
Well,
you know,
maybe
they want to know where they can find bacon bits at your house.
Depends on the person, but some of the time you hope so. You know, you totally
yes.
hope so. Now, one of the things about it, grocery stores are reputed to be a good place to meet men. You know.
Yeah, see, I have a story about that.
Did it happen?
It's not. Yeah, it's not a good place to meet men. It's a great place to meet guys who will ask you for your number, and you'll give it to them because you're a pushover, and then they'll run into you, like, every 2 weeks for the next rest of your life, even though you don't want to date them. That's my life. But, you know, I'm sure for someone there's a happy ending there.
Well, you know, my own experience is, you know, last summer I was in love. You know, I was totally in love. And so apparently when you're in love, you're just lovable. You know, and so I couldn't go to the grocery store without, you know, attracting all kinds of attention. But,
oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And so you,
absolutely.
This attention you don't even need, right? But
it's so nice, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it is. It's nice. So we'll just add that to the list of things that are nice about being in love, you know, okay?
Yes.
So. But I do worry when I'm asked. And see, one of the things about it, as I was thinking about the fact that we were going to talk about grocery shopping, I think kind of at the heart of it for me is, shouldn't the supermarket be a lot like an elevator where you are granted a lot of freedom to be sort of invisible if you choose to be, and then everyone else can kind of be invisible too, and there's something funky about the eye contact that's appropriate? I mean, do you agree with that?
Maybe a little. Yeah, I mean, an elevator is so much more enclosed. I mean, a grocery store, you sort of have the option to, you know, to look around and kind of peer into people's carts and be like, why do you need that much Count Chocula or whatever. And I think it's a little bit more of a social environment, but there's definitely the option, like in a big bustling city, to kind of put your head down and grab the pound of butter that you need and run out real quick, you know, if you're in your yoga pants and a crappy sweatshirt. I think there's a little bit of both of that.
That really begs the question, what do you think is appropriate grocery store attire?
Oh, I've done it all. You know, I ran into some girls last Friday, and never go grocery shopping on, like, Friday right after work, especially in my neighborhood, because it's hipster kids all out buying awful beer and cigarettes before they go out for the night. But, you know, they came in all decked out in their hipster tight pants and their done up hair and dark makeup. And it was, you know, it was only 7 o'clock at night or something. And I was like, you know, that's maybe not as appropriate for the rest of us to have to look at before we've had dinner. But, you know, I've been to the grocery store in my pajamas before, and I've been all dressed up for work, and I've probably been in, like, fancy going to a party clothes, because sometimes you just need a candy bar.
Well, that's all very interesting.
What do you wear when you go to the grocery store, Miss Gucci sunglasses and fresh manicure?
Well, you know, it just depends on what I'm trying to accomplish. But there are some women, and I'm not saying I'm one of them, who don't play tennis but put on the cutest little tennis dress to go grocery shopping, you know?
Oh, that's Dr. McFloy.
But, you know, I think you just bring up so many points. I mean, your speaking is as rich as your writing. The thing I'm talking about is there might be a person with a cart full of Count Chocula. I think that's the cereal, listeners, in case you don't know. I think that is a cereal, and they have a cart full of it. But shouldn't there be the opportunity for this person to do such a thing and then the rest of us just kind of politely ignore it?
You know, I think if you're gonna buy that much Count Chocula and expect not to be bothered, you should probably find a 24-hour grocery store and do that sort of thing at 2 a.m. Because you have an obligation to tell people, if they give you a quizzical look about your Count Chocula, why on earth you need that much chocolatey cereal. I think it's just your social responsibility.
Have you been to a grocery store at 2 a.m.?
Yes, I have, although I can't say that I really remember the experience too well, because there are only a few states of mind you can really be in at 2 a.m. at my age. And I'm not a nurse, so I don't keep strange professional hours.
Well, this is the thing. I was out of groceries, and part of the reason is because I wasn't interested in food, and I wasn't feeling well. So I had gone to dinner with friends, and then afterwards I thought, you know, I could stop by the grocery. Kroger, I know, is open all night now. I can stop by the grocery and I can pick up some food. So I did that, and the first door I tried was locked, but it was plain that the grocery store was open, so I walked across the store and went into the other door and got a cart and went to pick up a few groceries. Well, strangely enough, I picked up quite a few cans of my very favorite canned tomatoes. Because in this strange appetite that I'm in these days, canned tomatoes taste delicious to me. So I put a few groceries in the cart, including canned tomatoes. And when I got to the front of the supermarket, there were no checkouts open. You know, open all night, ha ha, no checkouts open. So all they had was that self-service thing, you know, where you play like you're a grocery clerk and you run the little UPC things across their scanners and you put them in the sacks yourself and so forth. I was tired. The reason I was there was that I didn't feel well in the first place, and I just
wanted to be served.
I wanted to cry. You know, I literally wanted to cry.
I hope you didn't cry over the tomatoes. I hope you didn't cry.
Paige, I didn't cry, but I was just consternated, and I didn't know what to do, because honestly, I know that they make those self-service things. I know there's, you know, they're supposed to be very easy, but if you don't know how to use them, they're not. So
they're supposed to be easy, but then they're also computers. So they also make life a living hell if you're having a bad day already, because that's what computers are designed to do.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes, that is what, you know, that's what all those techno guys were thinking. That's what Al Gore was thinking when he invented the internet, and they were like, how can we make miserable people more miserable? Let's invent technology.
Paige, proof of it, you have to look no further for proof than the very opening of the show. Not only did I show up late, but when I tried to start recording, I went offline for a while, you know, totally consternated like I was that night. But after I had filled my cart, I didn't just want to abandon it in the first place. I'm a stalwart citizen. That would just be
You were going to have me on your show, so you can't just, you know, can't just say, well, what the hell? Maybe another time.
No, that wasn't about to happen. But I'm talking about, I'm still back in the Kroger, darling. I'm back in the Kroger.
Oh, hell, I would have given up on the tomatoes. Whatever, come back another day.
Well, this is what I did. I said to a clerk, can't you merely open a checkout? And she said, oh, no, we can't do that. And she decided that she would check the groceries for me, you know, because I was clearly incompetent. But she pointed out to me, she explained to me, in like you would explain to a child, if you come here in the daytime, we actually have checkouts open and we have clerks here who can check you out, you know.
Right.
And, well, I didn't know how to, you know, I didn't know exactly how to take that, you know.
I probably know how I would have responded, but you said this was a mom-friendly show, so...
Yeah, we try.
If I were in that state, I'll just refrain. But yeah, I think I would have been less than pleased about that.
Well, I try not to be hard on clerks in grocery stores, because I'm sure they have trials that I can only imagine.
They deal with all kinds of crap every day.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want you to feel too bad, because those self checkout things, they're awful all the way around. Like, even when you are there during the day and everybody else is waiting in line to use the clerk who will do things for them and put their groceries in the sacks for them, there are people who insist on buying one or two of everything from the produce section and going through the self-checkout because they have something to prove. And, you know, you have to take the bag out, and then you have to put it on the scanner, and then you have to find the little code. Like, you have to turn the red bell pepper around and find the little sticker and punch it in, and then it has to take the weight, and then you have to move it, and then you have to do that with every single vegetable that you're buying. And there really are people. I've been behind them before when all I have wanted, in fact, is, you know, my cookie dough ingredients, and they have insisted on taking 10 minutes at the self-checkout, and then they have to fumble in their purse for their credit card, or they forgot to scan their loyalty card, or they need to give their ID to buy, you know, their six-pack of terrible beer to go with all of their vegetables for their hipster stir-fry. And it's just, you know, go wait in line with the rest of the people who have complicated grocery lists. I just want to make some cookies and make myself feel better. I'm sounding like the biggest jerk right now, but, you know, that's how you
store. You know what? You're not sounding like a jerk, but I would hate for anything to put your 2 humanitarian awards in jeopardy. You know,
well,
I mean,
you know, some things are worth the risk.
The other thing that I discovered in the process of having this woman do my self-checkout, do you know that they actually, after you check your groceries on one of those, they weigh them. They weigh them. So they put them
They weigh the tomatoes?
No, they weigh anything you bought, so they weigh the cans of tomatoes. They want to make sure,
right.
You know.
They know you're not running off with their merch.
Exactly. It is just amazing. So I didn't know about any of that. But
well,
I can also see if you develop the skills, and I think they are substantial, you know, the skills to do that, check your own groceries, I think it requires substantial skills, and I'm very impressed by it.
Acquired skill. We'll just say that.
Absolutely. I have a lot of respect for people who do that, and I think one incentive for doing it might be that you can be a little bit anonymous, because one of the things that I hate, and this once again is, you know, probably entirely too revealing, but for for me, there are limits to how much of a discussion I want to have about my groceries with the clerk that is checking me out.
See, I'm really chatty. I talk to everybody, kind of even when I'm in a bad mood. Like sometimes, what was the guy's name the other day? When I was actually, I'm not lying, I actually was buying ingredients for cookie dough. This happens far more than I should admit. But and sometimes I even bake the cookies, by the way. I'm not just sitting there eating raw eggs in my apartment. But this guy who checked me out, his name was Wilson. And I thought that was a really nice name. And so, you know, I'm standing there waiting to get through my line with my five items after this woman has gone through with 25. And I'm cool. But I walked up and he was kind of like, hey, how's it going? Welcome to Jewel. Because that's how they all talk. And I was like, Wilson, that's a nice name. And it always takes people off guard. Every time you say something nice to them, they're like, why is this person speaking to me? And why are they being nice? Do they have something up their sleeve? Are they trying to kill me?
No.
People are today.
Paige, I think that's delightful, and I'm going to put you up for another award. You know, the friendly, personable to clerks who are unaccustomed award, and I think that's lovely. But I'm talking about something different. I'm chatty. I'm very chatty, and also I'm very capable of complimenting someone on a lovely, unusual name like Wilson. You know, I think that's
right?
I think that's a great first name. But what I don't want is for Wilson to talk about what I'm buying. You know, I want him to touch what I'm buying. I want him to scan what I'm buying. But I don't really want a conversation about what I'm buying.
Well, I guess that's where you and I are different.
Yeah.
Because really,
probably.
You know, I don't mind. I don't mind talking about what I'm buying, especially, you know, if Wilson's ringing up my Cool Ranch Doritos and he's like, yo, those are the best chips ever. And I'm like, I know they are. Let's go out in the parking lot and eat them together. You know, that's a beautiful beginning to a friendship right there.
Yeah, but Paige, this is I think you'll be able to understand this because it's a subtle difference. You are a wordsmith, and you'll be able to understand it. I'm going to tell you.
I'm being difficult, aren't I?
No. You're being lovely. But I'm going to tell you about this, and then I'm going to play a brief guitar interlude.
I love
chosen
those.
Especially for you, since you play the guitar. I'm going to be playing Flies by Matt Stevens, one of the friends of Women Are Not Funny Radio. Here is the difference. Here's the difference, and you think about it while we listen to Matt. I have no problem with Wilson talking about the ranch, Cool Ranch Doritos, okay? Because that's very, you know, I think that's good grocery store etiquette to say,
yeah.
Oh, wow, these are great, aren't they? The difference is if Wilson said, oh, so you're going to be eating Cool Ranch Doritos for me, Paige? Just a tiny bit personal.
Oh, I don't know. If you were like, so you're going to be eating Doritos. What does that sound?
That was Matt Stevens. So, Paige, what do you think about my question? Do you don't see a distinction?
I guess I see what you mean. But unless Wilson was like, so are you going to eat that whole bag of Cool Ranch Doritos because you look like you could? I probably wouldn't mind. But that's just me.
Yeah.
And yet, honestly, even if he said, are you going to eat the whole bag? You know, mm-hmm. depending on my mood, I'd either want to punch him or I'd laugh with him. Because I try to stay good-natured when I'm out in public.
Yeah, well, I think that's always a good idea. And I want you to know that my own behavior is absolutely beyond reproach. But I do have boundaries. So, Paige, what do you think women find humorous that men wouldn't see as humorous in quite the same way?
Men's ridiculous behavior, maybe. I think guys probably don't see the humor in their own idiocy sometimes because it's just, you know, their lives. But other than that, you know, there's other female humor.
There are, and I'm trying to do, and originally when this show first came about, we thought we'd do a good job of examining that. We haven't quite met the mark, but we're going to try to get better because it's such an interesting topic. And I would posit to you that a perfect example of something that men and women would both find funny, but women would find it funny in a different way, is your little device about the cookie dough. You know?
The fact that I eat it?
Yeah, and the fact that you talk about it a lot and the fact that you know, that it's a humor device, really. I mean, it's real.
Definitely real.
But
the fact that my jeans don't fit right now is also very real because of the cookie dough. And I'm not even lying. I wish I were. I feel really bad for the guy who has a date with me tonight because he gets to see me and my cookie dough self. Maybe he'll enjoy that. Maybe he'll see through it and look to my sparkling wit instead.
I'm certain he will. You know, and the fact of the matter is I think most men love women who love to eat and also who know how to make cookie dough.
Yes. If this show weren't mother friendly, I would talk about my Facebook status from the other day that got me lots and lots of comments, but we can talk about that offline sometime. But yes, I think girls understand the whole cookie dough thing and all the emotional eating, I eat my feelings thing, because it's such a female cliche, but it's a cliche because everyone does it. So we all really do sit in front of the TV with a crappy girl movie and a pint of Ben and Jerry's every now and again when we're sad, and we wake up the next morning with a really bad tummy ache, but we somehow feel better. Because that's how it works.
Yeah, and I think, you know, more to the point, is whether we do that or not, we understand it. We understand it in a different way.
Yes, now, and it's never laughing at a girl who does it. It's always like, yes, I get it.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, the thing about it is you use that device in such a clever way, including talking about going into the store, you know, knowing where all the ingredients were. You know,
oh, yeah.
I love that.
Pro.
I love that.
I'm a pro.
Now, one of the examples that I came up with of my own is something that happened to me recently. And I just want your opinion if this, once again, is an example of the kind of thing that women would see the humor of it in a different way. So I was making coleslaw, and I confess, I used that bag of coleslaw, you know, already chopped, already washed,
no
already, already ready.
Please. No shame.
And so I put that in the bowl, and I was out of my good wine vinegar. I had the great, you know, I had everything else, but not the wine vinegar I ordinarily use. So I used some balsamic vinegar. And, Paige, I tell you, it turned my coleslaw brown. It just
That's
turned it brown.
Happen. Yeah, that'll happen.
And
how did it taste, though?
It was excessively ugly. It was excessively ugly. But I think, I mean, this is my position. I think women would find a story about that amusing in a way that a man wouldn't, because as women, we are somewhat judged on our coleslaw. in a way that a man never is, even a man who makes coleslaw, you know?
Yeah, and, yeah, I guess. Which
and,
is kind of messed up, really, when you think about it.
It really is messed up. I mean, men who cook get all kinds of points for cooking, not that women don't as well, but it's an expectation on our part, and we're judged by it, whereas men are not judged by it in the same way. And
yeah.
I would think also that a man could very quickly, you know, turn it into a plus, you know, get some credit for it, like, ha ha, I made coleslaw and it turned brown. I guess it's Jack Daniels coleslaw.
Hilarious. Yeah, yikes. Both. Well, yeah, because it's also kind of expected that a man is going to be a crappy cook. So,
yeah,
like, it's like charming, like, oh, it endears me to you that you screwed up the coleslaw. I'll eat it anyway, and then let's go have some fun time in the bedroom after we eat because you tried.
Yeah. I mean, you're just so grateful.
Trying,
that you're so grateful he can make coleslaw, right?
I don't even like coleslaw. Forget that guy.
Yeah, I know. You know, the fact of the matter is coleslaw and cookie dough are quite different.
Yes, because one is delicious, the other is not.
Well, you know, what
in
can
my
I
opinion.
Say? There is a place for coleslaw. There's a place
for KFC.
Cookie. So what is the role of humor in your life?
A crutch, I guess. It's it kind of keeps me up when I'm in pain. Like, you know, I write about serious stuff on my blog, but when I'm just going through my everyday life, like when I was first going through this breakup, like I leaned on that comedy crutch like it was nobody's business. Like I just, if somebody asked me how it was going, unless it was my best friend, I made a joke about it because that's what you have to do to get through the day sometimes. So I would call humor my number one personality crutch.
Well, that's very interesting. And, you know, I described in a note to you, I described your humor as wry. That's the way I see it. Because I think you have a lot of humor that's just embedded into what you write. I think your sparkling word choice sometimes has elements of humor when the humor is not really even the point, you know?
Yeah, you know, Kay, I think if you watch the world closely enough, everything is pretty freaking hilarious. Like there's a lot of humor in absolutely everything that happens to us, even the crappy stuff. And I'd like to think that stuff kind of hits me over the head like the return trip on a boomerang. Like, you know, I get hit with the pain first and then it kind of comes back and knocks me. And I'm like, oh, wait, there's actually something kind of hilarious about that. You know, if you let yourself, if you duck out of the way and you just, you know, burrow into your pain, then, you know, if the boomerang is going to fly right over your head and you're not going to get hit with the humor and you'll just wallow. But, yeah, life is very funny. And I think that maybe I just embrace that.
Yeah, I know. I think you definitely do as well. But do you ever view it, you know, this is another just area of strong inquiry on my part is about the strategic use of humor. Do you think you're ever strategic about it?
Well, I have recently, as I mentioned a couple minutes ago, ventured back out into the dating world. And there is nothing not strategic about my humor in meeting guys. I again don't necessarily think too hard about it, but you know, if I don't get a little chuckle or an LOL on the IM or in an email, you know, I'm not doing my job because I don't think of myself as an excessively pretty or sexy woman, but like I'd like to think I'm pretty funny. And so if I can kind of hook them and start to reel them in with a couple of jokes or some funny stuff, more the better.
Well,
and I'm just like revealing my secret to all the world right now.
And they appreciate that, you know. we'll put you up for a fourth humanitarian award, you know. Paige reveals all. So, but it's so interesting that you said that because the very premise of this show, the very idea, women are not funny, of course, is something that is embedded in the American culture and Christopher
Hitchens. I do not get that.
Well, this I'll explain Christopher Hitchens' argument to you. It's pretty simple. He says that men have to be funny because they have to be funny in order to get laid. Women, on the other hand, do not. And so it's just as simple as that. But what you're saying is, and I'm fascinated by it, and I think I've had some good fortune in that pursuit as well, you use it as a way to be attractive to men, and you find that it works, huh?
It's been known to be effective from time to time. But, okay, I'm probably never going to get over the fact that you just said that men have to be funny to get laid. That's probably the most wonderful thing I've heard all day.
Well,
I've never heard that before. I never really thought about it.
The thing is, you know, I've done some work in this field in another career where the field of women in philanthropy. So I've looked a lot at the gender differences in humor. And one of the things that they have discovered through research is that if you ask men and women what they're looking for in a mate, invariably, they are going to say, they are going to say sense of humor. But when men say it, they mean, I want someone who thinks I'm funny. And when women say sense of humor, they mean, I want someone who is funny. So it's a totally different read on what it means to have a sense of humor. But it is wonderful to hear that you have found that men are looking for that, looking for a funny woman. And I think when they meet you, they've certainly found that.
I hope so.
So, where, you know, you just redid your blog, and it's very good looking, I must say. Where do you see, it's a personal blog, do you see it as supporting your new career as a freelance writer, or is it something kind of on the side?
Well, the reason that I went, you know, and got hosting for my blog and redid the whole thing was because I felt a little pigeonholed with my old blog, the design and the limitations of Blogger and everything. I'm going into total geek mode right now. But I wanted to be able to kind of separate the site out into different sections so I could have the serious stuff that I write about that I really don't want to compromise with a bunch of fluff about, like, hey, I'm on this radio show. Hey, I got this free dinner because I talked about it on Twitter. Hey, I'm going on this date with this guy that I met on Facebook or whatever. You know, so I wanted to have separate spaces for all of that and have a place where people could read about me professionally and still be able to see my personality but not have them all mixed together. So I think that there was probably a lot of professional motivation around it. And I also, I hate this phrase so much, but building my brand at this point is turning into a thing for me. And that's like everything I hate about fame seekers on Twitter and stuff and all the social media experts and stuff. My face is twisted into this awful sneer right now. But they always talk about how to build your brand and, you know, how to market yourself. And I think it's all really gross, but now here I am doing it. And I'm on the damn radio talking about it. So here I am outing myself to everyone. But, yeah, so I guess it's a brand-building exercise as well.
Well, you know what? I think we always did it before we even talked about it. Okay?
Oh, sure.
I mean, I think we did it in elementary school. We had a brand in elementary school, Paige, I think.
Oh, my brand did not have a lot of value in elementary school, let me tell you.
Well, you know, and you can't go back, Paige. Is that
I don't want to go back. I do not want to go back.
You don't want to go back.
Glasses were awful.
I, you know, I'm not recommending that you go back, but, you know, we're winding down on the hour, and we got a little bit of a late start, but I just don't think there should be an occasion when two waspy women are talking about groceries and we just skip mayonnaise. I think we have to talk about mayonnaise.
Oh, you start.
Well, I guess really it's just another excuse to talk about myself, because recently I experienced a dilemma a mayonnaise dilemma in the supermarket?
I cannot even fathom.
You can't fathom? Well, you know, there are so many choices. You have Hellmann's, which I think is at the very top of the game.
Yes, the gold standard of mayonnaise.
It's the gold standard of mayonnaise. Then you have Kraft, which is probably okay, but it's not Hellmann's. And then you go into the grocery store brands.
Hmm.
Well,
and then there's the redheaded stepchild, Miracle Whip.
Oh, don't even mention it. I mean, that is just bizarre. You know, and
some of our
friends who, you know, I don't know if you happen to have her acquaintanceship, but the very lovely Smutty Steph recently asked about light mayonnaise, and once again, I think that is just something we shouldn't even consider.
That's like light ice cream or light butter. Just what's the point?
What's the point? But here, you know, since you've been very revealing yourself about a number of things, I'm ready to just out myself and tell you that I have decided sometime over the period of the last year or so that after years and years and years and years of buying Hellmann's, that probably there was very little taste difference in the store brand. But...
Oh, I doubt it. I mean, it's all the same, like, gross, like, egg and, what, oil? And what else is in it?
That's it. You know, and flavorings. So, but, you know, don't you think to some extent we're defined by what kind of mayonnaise we throw in that cart? I mean, you've already mentioned you can't even walk down the aisle without someone knowing whether you have Count Chocula. So I had a dilemma because there it was, the Kroger Classic, and then one step down the value, the Kroger value.
God, no.
And that's the deal.
Did you buy it?
I know. There could be very little difference. Probably it's the same product with a different label and 30 cents less. So I said, you know, don't be silly. Just buy this. And I picked it up and put it in my cart. And then I looked at it, and I just knew it didn't belong there. So I picked it out of my cart, put it back on the shelf, and I went with Kroger Classic. And then I just walked down the aisle, still, Paige, not really showing the best, you know. If anyone looked, they'd see I had Kroger Classic instead of the Hellmann's. And,
you know, sometimes you have to make that choice, and you have to stick with it, and you can't be ashamed.
But I guess that's my point.
I think, Kay, I can say with some security that I have never in my life bought a jar of mayonnaise. Because
really?
that is how hard mayonnaise grosses me out. I know
Darling,
that white people are supposed to love it, but I do not, as a white person, love mayonnaise.
Yeah. Well, you know, once again, you claim to be a WASP, but I'm not so sure. But you have been a delightful guest, and I've had so much fun talking with you today. I want to thank you for being here, and please do not hate yourself for wanting to build your brand. You have a great brand, and I'm here to testify about that. You're so welcome, Paige, and I hope to talk to you again. I want our listeners to know that next week we have as a guest Michelle McCormick of Love the Cool, and she and I are going to be talking about fall fashion and the new September issue, both the last year's movie and the actual real thing. So please, I ask you to join us then.
You have been listening to Women Are Not Funny Radio, a New Media International production. On behalf of Kay Ballard, her fabulous guest, and the secretly hilarious Women Are Not Funny team, thanks for being here. You can listen to our replays anytime you please, but it's so much more fun when you're here. So So join us again live next Friday afternoon for Women Are Not Funny Radio.